Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, or I'm sorry, 2, verse 3 says, I will begin in verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Tonight we're talking about theology. Who is God? And it's so very important in this, especially at this time. It's essential that we believe that God exists. Hopefully everybody here does. And that the Word of God is the vehicle of His self-revelation. And we are utterly relying on His Word for existence. We can't trust anything else right now. The Bible says that in the end times, if possible, the elect would be deceived. So we're fighting a deceptive spirit all over the world. But if you can't see that in our little neck of the woods here in the United States, you better open your eyes. And so it's a wonderful thing that God allowed us to share His glory and to share and to know Him. Centuries went by where people just knew about Him but didn't know Him like you and I do. We take it for granted so often. The God of the universe lives inside of us and we get to live with Him. It's pretty powerful. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. Del Tackett does a wonderful job of presenting this exhaustive subject of theology. So let's pray and we'll watch the film. Father, thank You again for Your august presence throughout the universe. God, You are everywhere. There's no place where we can go that You're not there. But God, You chose in Your wisdom. You existed before time began, and when time is done, You'll exist. And You chose to include us in eternity. We're so very grateful, God. We had a beginning, but we'll have no end, Lord. We'll live with You forever and ever. The eternal spark inside of us, Lord, reaches out to You tonight. Father, open our eyes and open our ears to this glorious subject as we give You the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 3. And I won't keep you long, and we'll answer any questions you might have. That's one of the ones you probably have to listen to 3 or 4 times, grasp all that was said there. He really got into some with charts and graphs there. How many know? That's third-level theology there. Suffice it to say, though, we have to believe that this is God's Word. We have to believe that this is God's Word. If we don't, we're lost. We're lost. If we doubt anything about this Word, I've always said, if God is not able to keep His Word pure for me, I'm serving the wrong God. But He kept His Word pure, and His Word is true. Genesis chapter 3, can you imagine with me, if you will, Adam and Eve didn't need to read a book to know about God. Can you imagine walking with God in the cool of the evening? Would that be cool or what? I mean, you're walking with the guy that made you. And if you had any questions, all you need to do is ask him. Here's the danger. How many know you see before you a genius? I'm a genius. I am. I'm a genius. As long as I have my phone on me, I'm a genius. Ask me anything. Literally, give me 3 minutes and I'll have an answer for you. Not only will I have an answer, but most things I hit on this thing will have anywhere from 100,000 to 1 million hits in less than 5 seconds. Try it. Any subject that you punch up, it always has how many hits you got. Come on, somebody. We live in a world where information, we're on information overload. But we're also in a world that bought the lie, exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped the creation instead of the Creator. We live in a time where man worships himself. Some of us are old enough to remember when they chased God out of everything. They don't want the Ten Commandments up because it reminds them of sin. They don't want God's law anywhere. And so they said, anything goes. Situational ethics, anything goes. Well, then there was chaos everywhere. How many remember? College campuses, inner cities. Black man shot in 3 or 4 cities are devastated. Millions and millions and millions of dollars of damage. So they started to come up with their own law. I mean, you know, they rewrote the law. They have their own law now. We know what righteousness is. We know what life is. No longer do they believe God made male and female. They've made their own God. And it all goes back to here, Genesis 3. Genesis 3 says this, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said?" And that's the lie that chases us today. And each one of us are going to have to answer that question. Who is God? God is God. He's the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. He always was and always will be. And his word, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. No matter how much difficulty we have with his word, we must believe his word is true and that he is righteous. Now, what happened was, after Eve did what she did and Adam did what he did, God had mercy on them. If you look down in verse 22, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil." Underline good and evil. "And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man. And he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." Man set out on his own, two decrepit human beings who had turned their hearts and their minds away from God. They began to wander the earth. Come on, somebody. The flood happened. There was only a few million people on the globe. It was destroyed. They started all over again, and they began to wander all over the world, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. God showed himself to a generation of people, to the Israelites, and he said, "You're my special people. I'm going to show you who I am." And he gave them the law, and they couldn't keep it. They didn't want him. They took the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, said, "We know more than you do." There's about 8 billion people on the globe today. There was no cherubim and flaming swords put around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was open for anybody. Come on, somebody. People think they know who God is. They made their own laws and their own rules. And even the elect are being deceived. We're standing around the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, God said this, but he meant that. Honey, no, God's word is not to be argued with. It's to be believed. And so we've created this conundrum. We love God, and a bunch of the Christian church has said we love God, but we're not sure about his word. Or we love his word, and we're not sure about God. You can't have one without the other. God and his word are twins. Jesus said, "I am the Father, I'm one." John calls Jesus the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's absolutely imperative that we know what this Bible says. I can't stress it enough. Know what you're supposed to know about God, because deception is running so rampant in the world. And there's a large path to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The world is standing around that thing. Yes, we know. We know what's good and what's bad. I was in a kindergarten class the other day over at Columbia. 3.5, 4-year-old kids with iPads and headphones on. And man, they're running through the information. Of course, it's all educational stuff. But I couldn't help thinking, what happens when these kids go home and mom and dad are busy arguing in the other room and they're on dad's iPad that has been in every pornographic site or God knows what, and they're on there. How many know most of the world knows the knowledge of good and evil? You're quiet. And the church is standing right with the world around that, this knowledge. We must stay with God and His Word. We must. We must. We like to think of eternal life as being something of a forever and ever thing. But eternity is the constant now, and it's knowing God. I love what he said. Eternal life is knowing God. He described eternal life in John 17, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. What kind of knowledge does God want us to have of him? What's that mean, intimate knowledge? What's it mean, heart knowledge? What's God want us to know about him? Do you think he wants us to get back to where Adam and Eve were, taking a walk with God in the cool of the evening? Can I tell you that Adam and Eve don't know anything about the relationship we have, didn't know any like we have? Our relationship is miles above where they were walking with him in the cool of the evening. Come on, somebody. They walked with him and listened to him speak. He lives in us. The depths of how we're to know God, there's no end to how we as much as we want to know about God, he'll reveal himself. And how many know there's that much more? I like what he said about stepping into the eternal. There's no beginning, there's no end. If we start right now and walk forever, we're still no closer to the end than we were when we started. But the relationship that Adam and Eve had blows my mind. Just, I can't imagine. Just, can you, the Creator walking with you. It's time for our evening walk. Wow. That they may know you. And he lives in us. He lives in us. Why do you think the Word has been under such intense attack by the world? It's convicting. Exposes man. Exposes our heart. Who do you think created the hate for the Word? Satan. Why? Exposes him. But why? What's the ultimate plan of Satan? What's his ultimate plan? He wants to be God. Say it louder.
He wants to take us from God.
Right. And he wants as many of his 8 billion people on the planet to be with him. So what's he strike at? What's Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 say? Has God really said? That's where he's at. That's why this thing is under so much attack, this Holy Word of God is under so much attack today. Because if he can take that out, he's won the hearts of man. Because there's nothing else we can go to. It breaks my heart that a lot of the church, this Jesus Commission he was talking about, some people that I used to follow very closely when I was first saved are on that commission. And they've totally devastated God's Word. Not just the Word of Christ, the rest of it. And once you take those foundations out, you're gone. You're done. We encourage you every year to read the Bible every day. There's a reason why we're doing that. It's because we're being challenged every day. The very truth in this Word is being challenged by the enemy every day. He's taken over the airwaves. He's taken over the songs. He's taken over the educational system. Come on, somebody. Just read the other day, 2 days ago, where Harvard has 800 signatures saying they don't want Judge Kavanaugh being a teacher there. He resigned yesterday. He's not going back to Harvard Law School because of his sexual things that he alleged, sexual things, but they don't believe it's alleged. The world's gone crazy. Gone crazy. Because they've left this truth. That's the one foundation we have. We've got to stand on it. Who is God? Man, he wants to say so much to us. He wants to reveal so much to us. And this Word, the Holy Spirit, if you don't know what it's saying, pray. Holy Spirit, guide me. And use this for good. If you don't know what it says, I mean, there's so many Bible applications. You get on here, you got commentaries from all over the world. The Blue Letter Bible. Come on, someone. Bible Gateway. I mean, it's there at our fingertips. I remember when I was first saved, you had to go to the library and go through all these books. Man, I used to have books all over the table. Now all the books are right here. But you know what's more important than that? Just prayer. The Lord will show you. The Lord will show you. And we absolutely have to know who we serve. Who is God? He's the one we serve. He's the creator of the universe. He made us. He sent his only son to die for us. He's the one that we serve. He's the one that we listen to. And he's the one that we believe. It's absolutely imperative that we know that. To hold on to the Christian worldview. Because it looks less and less like we know what we're talking about. If we listen to the world. The world says we hate people. I mean, no, we love people. God loves people more than anything. Gave his only son so that they don't have to die. My Bible says he desires that no one perish. Father God, in this quest to know you, God, thank you for reminding us of the importance of your word tonight. Thank you, God, that we can rely and trust on its every word. You who created everything we see. You who gave us the very breath in our lungs. You put these 66 books together and bound them together and passed them down from generation to generation. They're pure. They're holy. They guide us. They're perfect in every way, God. And we thank you for your word that guides us. We thank you for your spirit that teaches us. God, you've left nothing to chance. We don't have to be afraid. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, when heaven and earth pass away, you're there. Yes. Your word will never pass away. God, thank you for the gift of life, the eternal life that you gave us. That, Lord, you loved us enough that you even gave us more than Adam and Eve could have. You came to live inside of our hearts. Now, Father, I pray for each and every one tonight, Lord, that we would contemplate this week the blessings of knowing you. Being able to answer those that have the questions. Casting all our care on you, for you care for us. Give you all the glory and the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Tomorrow night, prayer at my house at 6:30, and we'll see you on Sunday morning.